today I want to talk about to come on a journey. To come on a journey. The Bible gives us an invitation. God gives each one an invitation to come on a journey. Now, to come on this journey, there is a destination that God tells you up front what it is. And then he tells you the steps which he has went through to make it possible for you to go on that journey. And then he tells you what he has provided so that in this journey you can do exploits. And so we open up in the scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 1 and it's verse 3 and 4. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten unto us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Your destination, heaven, and to an inheritance. And this inheritance is not like an inheritance that you get here on earth, where the government comes along and takes away half the inheritance, and so you only get a part of it. In the Bible, you get your full inheritance. And the Bible says that inheritance is incorruptible. You get an inheritance here. Somebody might be lucky to get an inheritance of a house, but maybe a long time where you've got to do a lot of work to destroy it. You might get an inheritance, but it might be small. It might not necessarily be worth much. But the Bible says we get an inheritance which is incorruptible. It's undefiled. And Jesus, when he said, make sure your treasure is in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt. He said, this life is temporary, but you're living for eternity. And eternity, that's where you want in your treasure. And so it's an incorruptible inheritance that we have. And the Bible says it's not like the inheritance or the things of the earth. Because in there we have what is known as the law of entropy. Everything in this earth decays. There's nothing that you can receive in this life that you don't have to maintain. You look in your house, you might have a garden, you've got to maintain it. If you have a car, you've got to maintain it. Everything in this life you put is a subject to the law of entropy, subject to the law of decay, but not in heaven. In heaven, that does not exist. It's not like earth. Heaven is a glorious place. And in James chapter 5, it talks about the rich, how the rich one day will weep because their treasures will witness against them because their treasures decay. We have an inheritance that is undefiled, pure, sinless, it's clean, it's perfect. It's not like this world, it's not like everything in this world, where there's corruption, where there's sin, where there's evil, where the things decay, but it's pure. The Bible says we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints, and we'll be delivered from the power of darkness. And it doesn't fade away. It means it is eternal. It doesn't become subject to wars. It doesn't become subject to the things of this world.
Amen.
Your treasure never fades away. It endures. Natural disasters don't take it away. Because there's no natural disasters in heaven.
Amen.
And we come to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And then in verse 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you."
Amen.
The word of the Lord. Be born again, not corruptible seed. Blessed be the God and Father, back to verse 3, where it says, by the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Be born again by an incorruptible seed. It's made possible because of what Jesus done on the cross. It's made possible because Jesus was risen from the dead. And the Bible tells us, we spoke a few weeks ago, he rose to the dead with infallible proofs. Doesn't matter what court you can take it to in any country in the world. The proof of the resurrection of Jesus is so overwhelming, it cannot be denied. And God made sure that that happened because nobody is ever going to be able to stand before him and say, the proof wasn't there. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, because of what Jesus does.
Amen.
Because in verse 18, the same chapter, 1 Peter 1, for as much as you know that you will not be deemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. The traditions are handed down. There can be many traditions, even in churches. But traditions don't save people. The Bible says we're redeemed not by corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, the blood of Jesus was not the blood of Adam. That's why we had a virgin birth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, born of the Holy Spirit. The blood that flowed through Jesus' veins was the blood that came from God. And that's why it's eternal blood and it endures to cleanse from all sin and it endures forever because it's eternal blood. And so 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Jesus is the blood of God. And because of the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus, he's given us the proof he is risen from the dead. And so when you are born again by the Spirit of God, you're born by an incorruptible seed, then you will never die. Because that which is deposited in you is incorruptible. And notice scripture, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The incorruptible seed is the word of God. 1 Peter 1, down to verse 25, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You hear the words, and faith comes by hearing, not the words. Remember the story of Jesus when he talked to the disciples. He said, and a sower went forth to sow seed. What was the seed? He said, the seed was the word of God. The seed was the word of God. And that word is incorruptible. And that word tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is now a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when you are in Jesus Christ, what is deposited in you is an incorruptible seed. It is an incorruptible seed. And because it's an incorruptible seed, there is no limit to the possibilities and heights that you can achieve.
Amen.
But it doesn't come automatic because you have to do things. So that's why it's being born again is a miracle. Because we're born with an incorruptible seed. So the resurrection without infallible proofs, so that you know that Jesus is the Son of God, so that in trusting him, and you get passed into you an incorruptible seed. And our body is a vehicle of the very life of the Son of God on earth. The Bible says this same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The nature you're born with is not the nature you have to keep. We are born with the old Adamic nature. It's corrupt. Even from early on for a child, you don't need to teach a child to anything wrong. They soon know what they want, they soon tell you. It's the old Adamic nature. But when you have an incorruptible seed, God is saying, I'm going to exchange your old nature for a new nature, which is incorruptible. And to be housed in your body, in God's nature for our human nature, the old Adamic nature is the new creation.
Amen.
Verse 18, look at it carefully. For Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Notice, Christ has suffered once. Once and for all, Jesus died and dealt with sin. There's nothing else to be done. Nothing you can do or anybody else can do. It's finished. Jesus died for sin, once and for all. That's the atonement. And the Bible said he was quickened by the Spirit. So you've got the death and you've got the resurrection of Jesus. You're put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus was put to death, but he was raised from the dead. What's the application? The just and unjust. Jesus Christ is God. He is the just. We are the unjust. And he gives his life for us. But notice what else it says. Christ suffered for sins. He also died for sin. You own that Adamic nature. Jesus died for sin. There's a difference. Christ suffered for sins, but he also suffered for sin. Isaiah 53:10 said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. So Jesus dies for sin. He dies to cover sins, but also said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And it goes forth and it says, but Christ also died for sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So Jesus has dealt with sins. He comes to save sinners, and he's dealt with the root problem, the Adamic nature of sin. And when we come to him, he places within us an incorruptible seed. And like any seed that's in the ground, and like any seed, when a farmer comes, he has to till the ground, he has to look after the seed for the seed to grow, and then he's got to take care of the plants as they come up. So in us is a potential to reach heights. An invitation is come on a journey. Come on a journey. The invitation God has said, I have placed in each one of you an incorruptible seed. Now I want you to come on a journey. And so the invitation goes to you. And it said, be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we go in this journey. And what happens in this journey? What you feed will grow. What you do not feed does not grow. That's why Paul was at a place to be right, talking about people who were still just children. Could he give them the meat of the word because they were still the basics? They were never growing. Because God wants every one of you to grow and to reach your destiny and potential that the incorruptible seed within you is capable of producing. And so when we come to this life, we are always faced with two choices. Because there are two kinds of life. There's the Christ life, there's the self life. The Bible said, talks about us to die to self. So there is that responsibility if you don't die to self in Christ life when you work before. There's two kinds of love. There's the divine love that comes from Christ, and there's just the normal human love. And that divine love is revealed in Christ because he loved us, he gave his life for us, and that love of God grows in us. For someone in the conference we were speaking about, not to be offended. the love of Christ in you, producing the life of God, so that you never take offence. There's two kinds of peace. You have the peace that comes from God. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not the peace that this world gives. He said, but my peace. The world will never give you a peace that's everlasting. You can have the peace of God in through storms and be calm in the storm, because the peace of God is a supernatural peace. Two kinds of joy. The joy that comes from the Lord. The joy that we have in the world, which is temporary. The two natures, the divine nature, the natural nature. And that's why we are a new creation. But the end for us is seen in us. And the Bible tells us, when we get to heaven, we are going to enter heaven as a new creation in Jesus Christ. We're going to enter heaven as a new creation. The new creation Paul talks about is, as you walk this life, you should be getting changed from glory to glory as you go on the journey, because you've got the incorruptible seed in you and you're feeding it. So you're going from one step of glory to the next step of glory until you step into eternity. Amen. The life of Christ starts now. It doesn't start when you get to heaven. And he who overcomes the world, the flesh and the devil, is going to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ. Now there is a principle in Scripture. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Eden there was no loneliness. There is companionship. There is the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the basic principle of life. To move to a different level, God always provides two options. For you to move to a different level, there's always two options come up, and you choose which one you're going to take. Are you going to choose the Christ life, or are you going to continue in the normal carnal life? The character is not made in heaven. Your character is fashioned here and there. And if you can take care to feed the life of God within you, then that old nature comes under the authority of the higher life. Because that which you feed is that which is going to live. Jesus said, deny your flesh, take up your cross, come, follow me. In this new life, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The scriptures contain something that's very significant. Jesus does not deal with you according to your past sins, because he remembers them no more. He forgives and he forgets. No more condemnation. Jesus deals with you according to this incorruptible seed that's planted in you. Because Jesus wants you to grow, to be a son and to be a daughter of the living God, who grows in faith, who grows in power, grows in authority, and becomes more like Jesus as you live your life. That seed in you has got the blood. Can take you from where you are today into a place of high calling. Now you think about the Old Testament. At the beginning of the year I spoke about an unnamed girl who was taken captive as she was in the house of Naaman the leper. And she said, but if my master, we go and see the prophet in Israel, he'd be healed of his leprosy. Remember that story?
Yes.
But she wasn't based on anybody that she knew who was healed of leprosy. Because that prophet had never healed anybody from leprosy. But she had great faith to say, if my master, we'd go and see him. She never had Christ in her life. Every one of you, what does the Bible say? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
You've come into a place where God has put the Holy Spirit out. And so you're in a place where you should be able to do something greater than that lady.
Amen.
I should be able to do something greater than that lady. Because the Holy Spirit is within us, and incorruptible seed is put in us. So that seed we should be
allow it to grow, and we should be nourishing it so that we do exploits which are greater than what we need in the Old Testament. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. That lady never had an incorruptible seed. But we did. And so, Jesus deals with us according to the seed that's planted in us. But notice something else, chastisement. None of us like it. But the Bible says, it's for those who are God's sons and daughters. God's dealing with you like a son, like a daughter, because he's wanting to see you growing. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, and scourges every one whom he receiveth. In the Psalms, Psalm 103, it tells us, as far as the east is from the west, and the Lord removed our transgressions from us. So God is not dealing with our past. He's looking to deal with us with what he has placed within us, the Word of God. And the Bible tells us, God remembers the sin of the world. The judgment is not for those who are in Christ, but those who are in the world that are not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have an incorruptible seed. And we have, in our flesh, there's always a warfare with the new creature and the desires of the new man. We are designed for the Spirit of God to rule over our soul and our body. We are designed that our spirit should have preeminence in us over the desires of our soul and the things of this life. And with that incorruptible seed, the head is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the new creation. Adam was the head of a fallen creation that we have been rescued from through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, our Saviour, did not sin. But we have inherited that sin through Adam. We're made righteous because of Christ. We never had that righteousness when we were from the generations of Adam and the corruption that came through Adam. And as we did earlier, Jesus was made a quickening spirit. Adam was earthly, but Jesus is heavenly. And our destination is heaven. So an inheritance incorruptible. We are brought to life through Jesus Christ. That's why we're praying against the bills that the government went to pass to terminate life. Because Jesus has come to give life. Satan comes to give death. You're either in one camp for life or you're in another camp for death. There's no in between. The spirit of death comes from the satanic realm. Jesus brings life, not death. He imparts a sinless nature to us through that word, which is the incorruptible seed. And then, start to feed it. Start to feed it. Start to feed it, and you'll start to grow. He brings justification, not condemnation. Jesus pleased God in everything he does. But it's when we're in Adam, what we were doing, the law was offending God. Jesus restored the favor of God for us, which Adam lost in the garden. And life reigns through Jesus Christ, both this physical life and into eternity, because we are eternal beings. Death reigned through Adam, but life has come through Jesus Christ. And that life that comes from Jesus causes us to abound in grace, to abound in the things which come by the Spirit of God. And so, God is saying, come on a journey. The invitation is to come on a journey. You know where your destination is. You know that I have prepared a mansion for you. You know that there is great things. Don't trust, don't corrupt, not defile, pure. It says, I've proved to you that I am the Son of God because I have risen from the dead with infallible truth. I have dealt with sin. I have offered a sinner redemption. I have come to deal with everything which would be an obstacle for you to achieve your destiny. He said, now I have imparted into you an incorruptible seed. I want you to feed that seed. I want you to read the Word of God. I want you to dwell in the Word of God. I want you to be consumed with the Word of God. I want you to see that Word growing within you, because as that Word grows within you, the Word, as the Bible says, by faith hearing come. You read the Word, you hear the Word, faith comes up, you say, I can do that. See that lady, that young lady, that what she said, Master, constantly see the prophet, you can start to get faith for things that's never been done before.
Yeah.
And that is what God is calling you to. He's giving you an invitation, because this seed produces the life of Christ if you're going to feed it. This incorruptible seed will produce the life of Christ, but you've got to feed it. And you've got to be intentional, and you've got to run after it and pursue it. You're born again in an incorruptible seed. And you want not to be always looking and saying, look at the great men of the Old Testament. Look at what great men, what they've done. The invitation to you is, start to run the race, and you have your name alongside their names.
Amen.
Because you're called to do great things.
Amen.
And there is nothing to hold you back.
Amen.
Apart from the carnal nature, which Jesus said, you deal with it and feed the seed that planted in you. It's incorruptible, it produces the life of Christ, and will take you to your destiny. And it will take you to places of calling, and it will bring you into a place of faith for you to believe for things that people have never seen before.
Hallelujah.
God asked, is there anything too great for me? Everything about the Bible is hearing God's word. Do you believe God's word? Or do you love God's word? God just wants us to trust Him. But he planted in us something that was never planted in any Old Testament saved, the incorruptible seed. Let us water the seed. Let us feed on the word of God. Let that seed grow within you. And let faith arise. Because the God that we serve is the God of miracles.
Amen.
The God who does things that no one else can do.
Hallelujah.
Why do we pray for a second? Because we believe in the God of miracles. Why do we minister to people? All of you have breakthrough in life? Because we believe that God will lift them up to a higher place. Because God's destiny and calling on everybody is not limited to where you are at the moment. His invitation is, come, walk with me on this journey of life. Come, why settle at a place where there's much greater things for you? If you continue to press in and to move forward.
Amen.
So Father, we